Chapter 3. Microbiota and Microbiome in Humans. Bacterial cells outnumber the human cells. There is a close symbiotic relationship between humans and the bacteria that live on and in the human body. Indeed, we possess more bacterial cells in our bodies than human cells. This collection of microorganisms is known as the microbiota. The genes and genomes of the microbiota, as well as the products of the microbiota and the host environment, have been described as the microbiome. Humans could not have evolved to their current sophistication without the help of bacteria, both for their ability to obtain energy in their cells through mitochondria, and also more directly in their ability to maximise the nutrients obtained from food and their primary defence against serious infection. In many bodily sites, the established bacteria have become an essential adjunct to maintaining balance. Microbiome of the skin. The skin is the largest organ in the body, covering an area of nearly 2 square metres. It provides a natural barrier against bacterial infection. However, when it is penetrated, infection can result either within the skin, within the dermis, or deeper within the body. There may be as many as 10 billion microbes in normal skin, comprising up to 1,000 different species of bacteria. This diversity has been established by gene sequencing, sequence analysis of the 16S RNA. 3 phyla of bacteria predominate on the skin. Actinobacteria, including Propionibacterium species, Proteobacteria, including Acinetobacter species, and Firmicutes, including Staphylococcus and Streptococcus species. The distribution of microbes on the skin is not homogeneous and may range from 100 to nearly 1 million per square centimetre, and distinct bacterial species congregate at different sites. Most bacteria are located on the skin surface and in the upper areas of the hair follicles, but the bacteria in the armpits will be different from those on the larger open areas. Propionibacterium acnes in the sebaceous glands release fatty acids onto the surface of the skin, making it generally acidic, about pH 5, and it also has a high salt concentration. Bacteria such as Staphylococcus species thrive in this environment. The large numbers of these harmless bacteria alone discourage the growth of other, more pathogenic bacteria, and they also stimulate the skin's immune responses to repel transient invasion. Staphylococcus epidermis excretes small peptides, up to 50 amino acids long, which kill many species of invading pathogenic bacteria, including Staphylococcus aureus and Streptococcus species. The skin and these resident bacteria have evolved as the first line of defence against attack by pathogenic bacteria in the environment. However, this is a fine balance and can be disrupted by frequent washing, administration of soaps, which are alkaline, and even excessive exposure to sunlight, which may reduce the bacterial count. This can result in dryness and increased vulnerability to infection by pathogens. The hormonal balance in the body may also affect the expression of the microbiota. Increased sebum production, particularly during puberty, provides an environment for Propionibacterium acnes to burgeon at the skin surface and cause acne. Furthermore, disruption of the homeostatic balance can produce an increase in Firmicutes and Actinobacteria, with a concomitant decrease in Propionibacterium, which is associated with psoriasis. Breaches of the skin may lead to infections such as atopic dermatitis. The skin bacteria also affect the healing of wounds. The presence of penetrating bacteria affects the way that the wound heals. For example, in germ-free mice skin, healing is accelerated and scarless. It was believed that one species of Corynebacterium produced the characteristic odour associated with the armpit, but the armpit is one of the most heavily colonised areas of the skin, with many diverse resident bacteria. Staphylococcus hominis produces thioalcohols, which contribute to the characteristic odour. We try to neutralise this with deodorants, which damages the equilibrium of the armpit. Similarly, The bacteria living on the feet are essential as they keep the skin moist and their enzymes digest dead skin, preventing dryness. We now tend to enclose our feet in shoes, which increase the heat and humidity. This allows some bacteria to predominate, producing isovaleric acid, which is responsible for the strong, cheesy smell. However, these bacteria play an important role in controlling fungal infections of the feet, such as athlete's foot. Microbiome of the vagina. Genomic sequencing indicates there are 250 bacterial species in the vagina. Usually, the vagina is colonized by lactobacillus. The individual species varies and can depend on ethnic background. These bacteria release lactic acid to produce an acidic environment of pH 3.8 to 4.4 and provide a robust defense against invading bacteria, fungi, and viruses, particularly during intercourse. This acidic environment is also damaging to sperm cells, and 99% of the sperm cells are destroyed by the lactic acid while passing through the vagina. This has a considerable evolutionary advantage, as the bacteria's lactic acid ensures that only the most robust sperm cells reach the egg. The balance of the bacterial species can be disturbed during the menstrual cycle, tampon use, sexual behavior, and childbirth. Disturbance, dysbiosis of the microbiota, particularly raising the pH, can make the vagina vulnerable to infection. An overgrowth of anaerobic Gardnerella vaginalis can cause a fishy-smelling discharge associated with bacterial vaginosis or of aerobic Streptococcus agalactiae and Escherichia coli, causing a yellow discharge associated with aerobic vaginitis. Both conditions cause inflammation. Dysbiosis can also lead to thrush, caused by an overgrowth of the yeast Candida albicans, resulting in a thick white discharge. Microbiome of the mouth. There are also significant numbers of bacteria in the mouth, and DNA-based studies suggest that there may be up to 700 bacterial species, many of which are unculturable. It is not clear whether all or even most of these bacteria perform a useful task, or whether they are just a remnant of an earlier role that these bacteria had had in our evolutionary development. Saliva contains many of these bacteria, but is not the site where they are dividing. Rather, it is the medium for transporting bacteria. The largest and most diverse concentration of bacteria in the mouth, 30%, is on the tongue. The mucosal surfaces, such as the cheeks or the palate, regularly shed bacteria, whereas dental plaque forms on non-shedding surfaces, such as teeth. Plaque is a biofilm, a thin microbial layer, and forms on the tooth surface. One bacterial genus in particular, Streptococcus, causes problems when its biofilm infiltrates cavities to form dental caries and forms under the gums or gingiva, causing gingivitis. These biofilms are normally controlled by regular brushing, which physically removes the bacterial layer in the biofilm. The situation is exacerbated if the diet has a high sugar content and the residue is not removed from the mouth. Microbiota and microbiome of the gut and human evolution. The human gut microbiota is essential for keeping the body healthy, and it has many different roles. It supplies us with vitamins, and its presence provides resistance to invading pathogens, but may also neutralize their toxins. The highest concentration of bacteria resides in the colon, and there may be up to 1,500 different bacterial species there. It is in the gut that the concept of the microbiome is best expressed. In the human body, there are about 20,000 genes which are expressed, but the combined bacteria of the gut microbiome express a total of 3.3 million genes. There is far more activity from the bacteria in the gut than from the host. Numerically, the bacteria of the gut may be divided into four phyla. Two phyla predominate: the Bacteroidetes, gram-negative anaerobes, including Bacteroides and Prevotella species, and the Firmicutes, gram-positive bacteria, including Streptococcus and Lactobacillus species. The two other major phyla are the Actinobacteria, gram-positive rods, such as Bifidobacterium and Streptomyces species, and the proteobacteria gram-negative rods, such as Escherichia coli. The composition of bacteria species within the phyla and the genes which are expressed may change over a lifetime, but it may also have changed during human evolution. The human gut can survive without these bacteria. When a child is born, the gastrointestinal tract is sterile, but soon becomes colonized. The early colonizers are mainly aerobic bacteria such as Escherichia coli, E. coli, but quickly change during development. The gut of the infant has a low oxygen level and is then colonized by anaerobic bacteria, similar to those found in the adult. Although up to 1,500 different species could colonize the gut, probably only 30 are found in any significant numbers. The vast majority of these, more than 99%, are anaerobes. Why are they in the gastrointestinal tract, and are they important? They are often seen as commensal, not harmful, or even mutualistic, beneficial bacteria, and they do perform a number of functions which became important as modern humans evolved and learnt to live on a very varied diet. The bacterial composition varies between people and, to some extent, is dependent on diet. In Western culture, the diet tends to be omnivore, a mixture of meat and plant products, leading to a rise in Bifidobacterium species. On the other hand, a vegetarian-based diet tends to produce a different bacterial profile, with a rise in Prevotella species. While we still do not possess enzymes to digest some carbohydrates, some bacteria produce these enzymes and convert them into short-chain fatty acids, which we can utilize. It is estimated that we would need to ingest 30% more food to maintain our body weight if we did not have bacteria fermenting in our gut. They can, of course, cause problems. Flatulence, after eating baked beans, is caused by the bacterial fermentation of specific bean sugars. As a further byproduct, the gut bacteria can also produce vitamins such as K and H, biotin. Large numbers of commensal bacteria in our guts put any pathogenic bacteria at a competitive disadvantage, protecting us against food poisoning bacteria. The final role of these bacteria may be as stimulants to the gastric immune system, ensuring that it is primed against invasion by more pathogenic bacteria. Moving further up the gastrointestinal tract, bile is released into the duodenum from the gallbladder. This is alkaline, which neutralizes the stomach acid, but is lethal to many bacteria. There are, however, bile-tolerant bacteria, such as Escherichia coli, which thrive in this environment. The large numbers of these predominantly aerobic bacteria suppress the establishment of pathogenic bacteria. For instance, they will curb Clostridium difficile, colloquially known as C. diff, and the bacteria causing typhoid or dysentery. The microbiome and the single cause of disease. In the later chapter on pathogenesis, certain bacteria are identified as the cause of specific diseases, and it used to be assumed that they were solely responsible. This was confirmed by Koch's postulates, criteria that established the association of a particular pathogen with a disease, but this test was based on the ability to culture the bacteria. Many of the bacteria of the gut are unculturable, and can only be identified by techniques identifying the presence of specific DNA sequences. However, it is becoming clear that many infections result from the disruption of the microbiome, or dysbiosis. Indeed, the symptoms experienced may result less from the invasion of a pathogen and more from the interference of the commensal bacteria in the microbiome. In a traditional Western diet of low fibre and high meat, fat and refined sugar, the diversity of bacteria in the gut lining may be reduced, a condition which is considered to play a role in inflammatory bowel disease. In the healthy gut, bacteria may translocate from the gut into the surrounding adipose tissue, but these are kept in check. However, in some inflammatory bowel diseases, such as Crohn's disease, the inflammation affects the gut microbiota, giving rise to opportunistic bacteria which are able to translocate across into the adipose tissue under impaired host and microbiota defences, exacerbating the condition. There are many other factors, such as antibiotic treatment, stress, and obesity, which are thought to disrupt a healthy gut microbiome. Probiotics and fecal transplants. A low-calorie and high-fibre diet appears to lead to more balanced microbiota and should diminish metabolic disorders. The ingestion of probiotic bacteria, such as Lactobacillus species, can restore the microbiota if it has been disrupted. The overgrowth of areas of the gut by alien bacteria may be overturned by the ingestion of large numbers of bacteria normally associated with the gut. A more radical method to rebalance the microbiota is by fecal transplantation, where fecal bacteria and other microbes are transferred from a healthy individual into the gut of patients with aberrant microbiota. This has been used where antibiotic treatment has failed. However, if the underlying condition persists, promoting the alien bacteria, this respite will only be temporary.